Oh, happy day that fixed my choice. Isn't that a beautiful hymn? Earlier this last week, Dorothy came to my office and she said, I'm playing the piano Sunday and I want us to pick the hymn. So we came across a list of hymns and I was so glad that was one that she chose because that's such a rich and beautiful, beautiful hymn. Thank you for being here, Dorothy, and offering your gift. If you were to draw a 100-mile radius around Mason County, we would identify some of the most endeared parts of the state of Texas. Amen? There's something about the land around here that holds so much inspiration, that holds so much promise. In fact, it even inspires mystery and wonder. The mountains, the valleys, the outcroppings of granite, right? The Chamber of Commerce days, the sun rises, the sun sets, the storms, the wildflowers are just absolutely amazing. We love this land. And again, this land inspires us. This land around us that we live in holds such mystery that we just are enthralled with it. However, it's one thing to sit on the front porch with a cup of hot chocolate or a cup of coffee and see the beautiful scenery and the beautiful wilderness than actually being in the woods. Amen? There's a difference. There's a difference sitting on the front porch and saying, oh, isn't that just pretty? You know, look at that sunset, look at that sunrise. That night sky, isn't it just all so gorgeous? And it's one thing doing that, and it's another thing to be out in the woods, to be out in the wilderness. Two different things. We love the land, and with all its raw beauty, but it won't take us long to be reminded about the power of Mother Nature that must be respected. You see, the wilderness exposes us to our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses. The wilderness is a beautiful place that we come in touch with God, where we come in touch with God and where we come in touch with even our own selves. The wilderness is a place where we detach ourselves from all the world's problems, and the wilderness is a place, a quiet place, where we can hear our hearts beat. Nature is the right place to unplug, unwind, and to pay attention to those things that truly, truly matter. That's why many retreat centers are out in the wilderness, out in nature, away from urban environments. Many folks these days are not familiar with words like pasture and fern and willow and Mustang grape. They're unfamiliar with the sounds of a woodpecker, a red hawk. They're unfamiliar with the naturalness of the rustling in the woods. In fact, they get a little scared whenever they see a snake or coyotes sing in the distance. James Campbell of the Los Angeles Times wrote a column about how many of today's people spend time outdoors. He points out that researchers say that there's a growing number of Americans who suffer from biophobia. Biophobia. And you can imagine what that is. It's a fear of the natural world. Many folks are afraid of a flock of birds. What was that? Where are they running from, right? The howling of coyotes. How often have you been with city folks and the coyotes start to howl and they said, ooh, isn't that scary, you know? What's going on there? Or maybe there's a strong wind and they want to, oh my gosh, they want to go inside. All those things provoke anxiety and trigger a fight or flight response. I remember watching a reality show where they were wanting to buy hot rods. This group of guys were wanting to buy hot rods. Counting Cars is the name of the reality show. And they were driving around. They spotted this old hot rod that they wanted to buy. But the guy who was wanting to go buy that old hot rod was afraid to go and knock on the door because there was a goat, not a big goat, right? There was a goat tied to a tree at a distance from the sidewalk to the door. And this was a guy who lifts weights, had big biceps, all the right tattoos, and had his sleeves cut off his T-shirt. And he says, I'm not going. You know, they were filming him. He was afraid to go knock on the door because of this goat tied to a tree. I think he suffers from biophobia. What do you think? These same researchers also found evidence that time spent outdoors boosts children's self-esteem, problem-solving skills, learn how to cooperate, focus better, and teaches them about self-discipline. But we folks in Mason already know this. Amen? But it's true. It's true. What does the Bible say about the wilderness, right? What does the Bible say about the wilderness? I want to read for you a passage of Scripture that comes from Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. And here God is speaking about Israel, and the first person singular is God. I is God, and she is Israel. And what God is telling Hosea is reminding Hosea of the time when the Israelites were traveling from Egypt to the Promised Land through the wilderness, where they learned to depend more and more upon God's providence and provision. Hear these words. I will now allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. From there I will give her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. So beautiful. The Lord our God is found in the wilderness, where we can come in touch with those things that we fear the most and learn to become more dependent upon the Lord our God, to learn to trust the Lord our God even more. Ancient and indigenous peoples' anxieties and to define their weaknesses, that they may come in touch with their fears and anxieties in mind, body, and spirit. Now you think that these indigenous peoples already live out in the wilderness, but they live actually in community, in tribes, and so, you know, for them it's the same thing. Community is like the urban areas for them, but going out into the woods is a place where they learn to come in touch with their vulnerabilities and their struggles and their fears. Jesus went to the wilderness to wage war on his fears, anxieties, and weaknesses. We're very much in touch with the supernatural Jesus. We like that Jesus. But there's also the human Jesus. Jesus struggled with many of the issues that we struggle with. He dealt with grief. He cried. He felt fear. He didn't want to be crucified. He didn't want to go through the pain of all that torture. He knew what betrayal felt like. knew those things. Knew what hunger and thirst was all about. Felt love in his heart. He felt all these complications and struggles in his life. Also experienced temptation, as Jeff reminded the children and us. Temptation is not a sin, as we know. Early church interpreted Jesus going into the wilderness to identify and to purge himself of those elements that he struggled with. The early church understood that when Jesus went out into the wilderness, he came in touch with those elements of fear and anger and anxiety and vulnerability. So what did Jesus have to wrestle with? Food, tempting God, and worshiping Satan, avoiding the cross. Let's talk about food. Devil tempted Jesus by saying, turn these stones into bread. You know, Jesus turned loaves into fishes. Turning the stones into bread was, that could have been, you know, that's nothing. You know, I like biscuits, you know. I want some hot dinner rolls, you know. So easy. So easy. We can't live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Now, like I said in the pastoral prayer this morning, whenever we feel anxiety or worry or being bothered about something, the first response is not to go to the freezer and get out a carton of Blue Bell ice cream and eat it out of the carton. Not saying there's anything wrong with that. But in times of our vulnerabilities, in times of our fears and anxieties and our weaknesses, our first posture is to go to the Lord. Do you know how many wineries there are around Mason, Texas? Eight. I didn't know there were that many until somebody told me yesterday. I don't count them. I think it's a good thing, right? But we turn to the Lord first. Not to the things of this world that we can consume. Amazon Prime. Oh, we like Amazon Prime. Let's leave it to food. Let's talk about Amazon Prime and eBay and all those other things that we can just go real quick to. I like that. I want some of that. I need some of that. God. Go to the Lord first. And if you're happy and settled, forgiven and redeemed, then go to Amazon Prime and eBay and see what you can buy. Second is tempting God. We've all negotiated with God. Oh, man, I know we have. I know we've thought about negotiating with God. When I think about negotiating with God and tempting God, God can't be tempted, by the way, but I think about this fellow seminary student who was an assistant coach at a very large university. And his son was playing football and broke his neck, and there was a possibility of him being paralyzed from the neck down. And so this man made a deal with God. He said, God, if you let my son walk again, I'll go into the ministry to serve you. And you know what? His son got up and walked again. And I wonder where that man is today. I pray that he's serving the Lord some way. And you can serve the Lord being a coach, I believe. But whether he's serving the Lord being a coach or he stayed in ministry, I pray that he has reconciled his heart with God related to bargaining with the Lord in a very vulnerable time in his life. Can't negotiate with the Lord. The third was when Satan took Jesus to a high place and said, you know, I will give you all these kingdoms if you just worship me. And, you know, Satan is known as the father of lies, right? They weren't his kingdoms to give anyway, right? But, you know, if you worship me, I'll give them all to you. And this was tempting to Jesus. Why was this tempting? It was tempting to Jesus because Jesus didn't want to experience suffering. I'm allergic to pain. Are you allergic to pain? I'm allergic to pain. I think most people are. Jesus didn't want to suffer death on a cross, but he was obedient to death on a cross. He didn't want to do it. He wasn't a masochist. Jesus loved life. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. So what does this story tell us? What does all this conversation about the wilderness mean to us today? Well, a spiritual director one time told me that we need to find a place where the Lord can find us. You know, we need to go to a place where the Lord can find us. Do you know where the Lord can find you? The Lord can find us anywhere, but that one special place that we go to on a regular basis where the Lord can find us. It's that intimate place where we go and spend time with the Lord God in prayer. That's the wilderness for us. That's that quiet place. That's that room that Jesus talks about in Matthew related to prayer. I invite you to go there. During the season of Lent, as we struggle with our vulnerabilities and try to come in touch with those obstacles in our life and our faith, we are invited to go to that place of quiet and make friends with the Lord, especially when the devil double dares us, right? I want to close with a prayer. It's that hymn, "Oh Happy Day That Fixed My Choice," on page 192 is a prayer by Dag Hammarskjöld of Sweden. And so I invite you to turn your hearts in prayer as we pray this prayer and let these words fall gently on your ears. Let us pray. Thou who art over us, Thou who art one of us, Thou who art, give me a pure heart that I may see Thee, a humble heart that I may hear Thee, a heart of love that I may serve Thee, a heart of faith that I may abide in Thee.